Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoy this message from The Well.
Well, thank you, Clive, and it is just great to be with you guys today. I love this family, I love this church, and whenever we meet on a Sunday in the presence of God, we just know that God is going to turn up and just do amazing things with us today. And I am blessed and privileged to be standing here and having the opportunity to preach to you this morning through our series of James. And the reason for that is I'm going to be speaking out of James 1 from verse 19 to 27. It's hearing and doing the word. And the reason why I'm so excited about today's word is because this is the life stream of following Jesus. This is the heart of Christian life. And James speaks to us here. He ain't beating around. He's not sort of going around the asses. He's not mumbling. He's getting straight to the point, and he keeps it as clear as possible. And I'm not going to waste any time. I'm just going to get straight into the Bible. So if you've got your Bibles with you, it's James 1, and I'm going to be reading from verse 19, and it says this. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive the meekness, the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away, and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perceives, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit the orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself abstained from the world. So there we see James. He's getting straight to the point, and it's encouraging us to be hearers and doers of the word. And I just want to quickly share a little story of what I was like when I was a teenager. And I think that some of you can probably agree, or probably even sort of understand what I'm saying here. I struggled to hear and do what my parents said sometimes. You know, you'd sort of be, you hear your mum and your dad in the background going, Sam, take the rubbish out, and Sam, bring your dirty underwear to the washing machine so that you got clean underwear for school, you know, stuff like that. And I'd just hear it, but I'd just be carrying on playing my games or just doing my own little thing. And hold on, before anyone throws the book at me, I'm sure parents today are understanding what I'm talking about here. You know, do your teenagers and kids hear and do everything you say? You know, let's just be honest. We've all been through it. But even as Christians, we experience this. Even as Christians, we sometimes fail to hear and do what God says. Or sometimes we hear what God says, but we don't do what he says. But Martin Luther King said this: you may as well quit reading and hearing the word of God and give it to the devil if you do not desire to live according to it. I'll say that again, Martin Luther King. You may as well quit reading and hearing the word of God and give it to the devil if you do not desire to live according to it. So the first thing that James is telling us here is to read the Bible and hear God's word. Now, reading is one thing that it's not my strongest point. Now, I do read my Bible, I do, but I also hear my Bible through audio. It's just something that I've picked up that helps me get the Bible in me. But I learn and digest teachings that way. I learn by hearing and practically doing, and everyone's different. But I encourage you, pick up your Bible and read. That's the most important thing to do. But yeah, that's the most important thing that people struggle with as well. And God knows that. That's why he gives us the audio version. But if we want to fully understand God and know his ways, his life, his culture, his personality, everything there is to know about God in this life, then we must pick up our Bibles and read his word. Why? Because God has gone to considerable amounts of trouble to give us his word. We should be quick to listen to it. We should be slow to jump in with our own views. We'll only look like fools. And if God's words, if his words offend us, which it should, let's remember that it comes with a holy authority. And he is far more likely to be right than we are. So let's be slow to become angry. And that is what James means by humbly accepting the word. Jesus himself quoted from the word of God every single time. In Matthew 4:7, he said, "Again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." While he was in the desert being tempted by Satan, he said in Matthew 4:10, "Be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." And even as Satan still tempted him, Jesus came back with scripture. In Matthew 4:4, he said, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." We in our spiritual pride are starving ourselves to death. Nothing but the word of God can save us. The question is, are we eager to humble ourselves before God's word? Of course we are. We're a church who takes the word of God seriously. But let's be honest, if James was to come and visit us as a church, if he was to examine our home groups, our youth groups and our Sunday meetings, would he really find us quick to listen to the word of God? Would he also find us slow to speak and to get angry? But I really fear that he would find us proud, that our image of being a Bible-believing church is only skin deep. And at the heart of our church, we hardly humble ourselves before God's word at all. Am I being too harsh? Well, what do you think? Let's encourage ourselves. Let's really infuse our lives with God's word and truly make sure that it is planted in us. Let's be enthusiastic to hear God's word, if not every day, then at least a couple of days during the week. And let's be on fire in our home groups. Yeah, let's be on fire in our church to be and live out God's word practically in our lives. Never missing a chance to bring the Bible out and just start speaking about it and start listening to what God is saying to us. And when we hear what God is saying to us, let's be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, humbly accepting the word that is planted in us, which can save us. I'll tell you a quick Bible story, a Bible reading story of my own. So, like I said, I was never a big reader. I've got my favourite book in my entire life was The Hungry Caterpillar. Absolutely amazing book. If you haven't read it yet, it is just amazing, full of colour, and just a simple book about a caterpillar going through the circle of life of eating so many fruits and vegetables, and then going to sleep and then waking up a beautiful butterfly, which is basically what I do every day. You know, lovely book, absolutely. If your kids haven't read it yet, encourage them to read it. And then you've got the other book, We're Going on a Bear Hunt, about a family who just wake up one day and say, let's go on a bear hunt. And they trudge through the woods, the rivers, the muds. And you sort of get to question, what are they going to do if they actually find the bear? Well, lo and behold, they find the bear and they quickly run home and hide under their covers. Really amazing books. Love them, love them. And when I picked up them books, I knew where to start. I knew that there was a beginning. I knew that I started with page one. However, when I picked up the Bible for the first time, it had a page one, it had a contents, it had a beginning. But I struggled to sort of start. I didn't know where do I start. As a new Christian, do I just read it from page to page like you would a normal book? Or is there a certain way I should be doing this? And I remember Clive encouraged me as a new Christian at that time to start with the New Testament and read the stories about Jesus. And it really encouraged me, and it really got me into the Bible a lot more. And I just want to encourage you, if you're struggling to read the Bible, you don't know where to start, start in the New Testament and start reading about the stories of Jesus, stories of how Jesus fed the 5,000, how Jesus walked on the water to show the disciples his power. And also the stories of how Jesus forgave the woman caught in adultery. A massive statement in the Bible, a woman caught in adultery, and Jesus says, not even I condemn you, go and sin no more. It just shows what our God is like. And as I'm reading more and more of the Bible, God is starting to come alive. The Bible is starting to come alive in my life. And I'm coming into situations and circumstances where I can hear God speak to me through his word. Sam, remember, I forgave the woman caught in adultery. You forgive him as well. I loved the tax collector who was despised and hated by the world. You love them as well. God started to speak to me through his Bible. And Jesus said this. In John 6, he said, "The Spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life." If you want to see God come to life in your life today, pick up your Bible and read it. It's amazing. Moving on to the next paragraph. If the first thing that James tells us is to read our Bibles, then the second is to do what it says. Look at verse 22. It says this: "But be doers of the word and not hearers, only deceiving yourselves." Do what it says, because listening without doing is deceptive. Listening to God's word is vital. But if we only hear the word but fail to go on to obey it, then we are in danger of deceiving ourselves. We will start imagining that all our Bible knowledge is doing us some good, when in fact it's just as much as knowing the tube map of the London 1940s. Fascinating, don't get me wrong, but of no use to anyone today. And James gives his own illustration of the pointless of knowledge without action in verse 23 when he says, "Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like." Now, we all look at mirrors every day. Some of us more than others. I can hear Clive laughing. I'll tell you a quick story. I used to go to the gym with Clive. We used to go to the same gym. We'd meet up on a Saturday regular and work out together. And I was young back then, and Clive, this is when Clive really used to put a load of wisdom and godly wisdom in me. And, you know, it would be there working out, and then he'd be talking. And I'd sort of just wander off into the mirror and sort of catch myself looking in a way that kind of, you know, it was really, you know, I saw the hard work was paying off, and I thought, "Hey, hello, good looking. Hey, you know, I loved it." And then Clive would go, "Will you stop looking in the mirror? You know, come on, we've got to work." Funny story. But the purpose of a mirror is to reveal things about you. It might reveal that your hair's sticking out of place. Sorry, there's a mirror behind the camera, which is very handy in these times. It might show that you've got Cocoa Pops in your beard or a bit of spinach in your teeth. Anyway, a mirror reveals something about us, right? And it increases our knowledge about us. But if we just wander away and forget what we saw, then we're deceiving ourselves. We're fooling ourselves into thinking that we look fine when we don't. And that's just absurd, isn't it? When the mirror reveals something about us, we do something about it. We either comb our hair, brush our beard, and clean our teeth. It would be crazy if we didn't. Yet, so often, that's how we are with the Bible. Sometimes we look into it, and when we do, it reveals things about us. And as the Bible holds up God's holiness and Christ's perfection, it shows us the sin in our lives. And like a mirror, it reveals to us as we truly are. And it tells us what we need to do about it. Yet so often we just walk away and we forget about it all. James's plea to his readers in verse 25 is, yes, we should look deeply into the mirror that is God's word. We must read our Bibles and continue to do this, but we must not forget what we hear. And we must then go on to do what it says. And this is how to avoid deceiving yourselves, and it is also how you become blessed by God. Do you want to be blessed by God? Read your Bible and do what it says. James shows us how easily we deceive ourselves in verse 26. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Now, religion that doesn't affect our behaviour, that doesn't even affect what we say, is worthless. However great we think it is, we might as well not have it at all. We might as well be, I don't know, frog worshippers, cats and dogs, I won't go there. If you want to know what your religion is worth, then listen to what you say. James is more positive in verse 27, where he contrasts the ineffective religion that does nothing with religion based on doing what the Bible says. Here he tells us that a religion that is worth something is one where our beliefs affect our lives. It affects both our actions towards others and our actions towards ourselves. It makes us different from those around us. Is that what your religion is like? When we read the Bible, let's do what it says. Because otherwise we deceive ourselves that our religion is worth something when the reality is it's worth nothing at all. I'm gonna come to a close there. Although we've spent a bit of time this morning on James's message, and his message is very straightforward, ain't it? It gets straight to the point. Read the Bible, hear God's word, and do what it says. I will say that again. Read the Bible, hear God's word, and do what it says. To reuse the image that James gives us at the end of chapter 1, we've held up the mirror of God's word in front of ourselves this morning. We've looked deeply into it. And perhaps this morning, as you've done that, God has revealed some things to you that you need to do. Maybe God has revealed some stuff to you that needs to be dealt with. Maybe there's things that need to be put right. James leaves a challenge hanging up in the air. And the question is, what are you going to do about it? Are you really just going to walk away and forget what you've seen and heard? Or are you going to do what it says? If you're wherever you are, let's just close our eyes right now, just bow our heads and just allow God's word to just settle into our hearts right now. Allow the Holy Spirit, we just welcome God's Holy Spirit here to just move. Allow the Holy Spirit to just have its way right now. He's touching your heart right now. He's touching your heart now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Yeah, I just really feel, as I was preparing this preach and as we've just been worshipping and just been in the presence of God, it's God's just been speaking to me with regards to this word. And I feel like there's some of you out there, you're struggling to hear God. Or some of you may even say that you can't hear God. You read and you pray, you go to church, you do what needs to be done, but you still can't hear God. I just really feel that there's some of you out there that need to repent. There's a call for repentance of sin. You need to ask forgiveness for. There's a couple of you who, you know, you want to hear from God and you're doing the right things, but yet sin is still contaminating you. You know, we need to turn fully away from that and walk with Jesus. Once you turn fully away, that's when you're going to be hearing from God. But you need to make the move first. You need to turn 180 degrees and go the other way. I feel like there's some of you here that need to forgive yourselves. There's some of you here need to forgive yourselves. The reason why you're not hearing from God is because you've held on to disappointment. You didn't do what the Word of God says, and now you think that God is angry with you. Well, God ain't angry with you. That's a lie. That's a lie from the enemy. God is not angry with you. God loves you. He loves you so much that he gave his only son so that he can have a relationship with you. Let go. Let go of that disappointment. Let go of the past. God is there with his arms wide open to you right now. There's a couple of you who are angry with God. Angry with God because you've done what the Bible said, ask and you shall receive. But yet you haven't received it. I just feel like God is saying, don't be angry. Don't be angry. Repent, but don't be angry. There's a reason why it wasn't the time. But there's also work to be done in you. You know, there's still things that need to be done. I can see, I've just got a picture of a tree and a rope swing. I don't know whether this this is for someone, but God just gave me a picture of a tree and a rope swing. And, you know, God is just saying, jump on the rope swing and take the swing. You know, it don't matter how high you get, keep going higher, keep going higher, go as high as you can. The higher you get, the closer you get to me. And I just feel like what God is saying there to you is, don't let fear hold you back. Don't just look at the tree and the rope and think, the branch ain't going to hold me, the rope ain't strong enough. No, just get on and swing and allow God to just open himself to you and just have a relationship with you. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Yeah. I'm just going to finish by a prayer and then... Yeah, Father God, we just thank you for your word this morning. Father, we just thank you that you are speaking to us today through your word and even speaking to us right now. Heavenly Father, I just pray for every heart, every home, every mind that is being touched by your word this morning, Lord. I just pray that your Holy Spirit will be upon them, Lord, and bless them, God. Lord, I pray for lives to be transformed, for people to leave this meeting different from the way they come in. And Lord, above all, let your people be encouraged today to read their Bible, hear what you are saying to them, and do what your word says. In Jesus' name, amen.